The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Layla Mutin, RDN, Registered Dietitian Nutritionist. I've been working with Dr. Hoffman since October of 2005. It's been a pleasure and a privilege. I launched this podcast, it's about a year ago. I started October of 2015, and it's been a pleasure to do these for you, and I welcome all of your questions. And if you have any particular subject interest in health or nutrition that I may be able to discuss or explain or answer a question, I'm here. Just email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. That's where you can email your questions and your comments. I've got an email from Christina, and Christina's asking about MSG, monosodium glutamate. Christina says, I see some online sources that warn people about MSG and tell them that companies disguise MSG under other substitute terms, such as yeast extract or maltodextrin. Yeast extract, I know, is a definite source of MSG. Maltodextrin is usually made from corn, but I wonder if some MSG may be in there as well. Christina goes on to say, one source even contended that organic maltodextrin or organic yeast extract or organic red pepper are all surnames for MSG. Is this true? There are lots of sources of MSG, and I often have to alert many of our patients about sources of MSG because they have particular symptoms or conditions that are either caused by or exacerbated by MSG. MSG is monosodium glutamate. It's used as a flavor enhancer, to many degrees in many different types of foods. But however, let me first tell you what following symptoms and conditions that MSG is actually associated with. With regard to gastrointestinal conditions, MSG is associated with cramps, with diarrhea, gas and bloating, and GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, irritable bowel syndrome, and nausea. All of these can cause these particular GI symptoms for those who are sensitive to MSG. And you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be an allergy, a sensitivity, or anything else. It could be an idiosyncratic reaction. There are lots of reasons to not tolerate MSG. We are all of unique biochemistries. So, other general symptoms and conditions associated with MSG, allergy type symptoms, bags under the eyes. Now, MSG, because it's a type of salt, it may cause water retention, and that could be some of the reasons for the bags under the eyes. Other symptoms, asthma, balance problems, chest pain, difficulty swallowing, chills, dizziness, excessive perspiration, fatigue, flushing, headaches. I'll tell you, in my practice here, I hear about headaches most often. I have heard encounters of clients telling me, they ate some Chinese food or something else that contained MSG, maybe in some adobo seasoning that's used in some Latin cuisine, that they get headaches. that appear just an hour or just a few hours after the meal containing MSG, and it could last for a couple of days. Other symptoms of MSG: heaviness of the arms and legs, hives, hypertension, migraine, mouth lesions, numbness of the face, palpitations, you know, heart flutters, rash, runny nose, shakes, skin rashes, sleepiness, slurred speech, sneezing, tightness around the face or other types of tension, tightness in the chest, a tingling, burning in the face and chest, watery tension, as I said earlier, weakness. See, there are lots of symptoms associated with MSG. Other symptoms, eye symptoms, symptoms in the eyes include blurring vision, difficulty focusing, visual disturbances, tingling around the eyes. Let me tell you about some neuromuscular symptoms. Arthritis. People will experience joint pain after ingestion of MSG. Back pain. Fibromyalgia. Jaw stiffness. Muscle aches. Tendinitis. Weakness. Paralysis. Those of you who suffer with fibromyalgia, it might be worth taking a good hard look at your diet to see what you're eating that may be causing your fibromyalgia symptoms. Is it possible that you have fibromyalgia purely because of the MSG in your diet? Let me get into some of the possible sources of MSG. Textured protein, vegetable gum seasonings, carrageenan. This is a big one, carrageenan. Spices. Many spices may contain MSG. Here's some of my favorites. Flavorings or natural flavorings. What the devil does that mean? But you will find natural flavorings on a whole lot of ingredient lists. Everything from highly processed foods to even organic foods. Natural flavorings will be there. And it's a possible source of MSG. Flavorings of chicken, beef, or pork. Smoke flavorings. Hey, remember liquid smoke? That's a flavoring. Bouillon, if you're using bouillon cubes to season up your soup, that's a source of MSG. Broth or stock. I'll tell you, I was on a mission many years ago, and now I just simply make my own stock from scratch, you know, any kind of chicken or a vegetable stock or anything, a beef stock. A seafood stock. I was on a mission going to every grocery store in my neighborhood looking for an organic soup stock, chicken stock. And I found organic sources, and some even said MSG free. But then when I looked at the ingredient list, I find yeast extract. Yeast extract is a definite source of MSG. So it might be that the yeast extract in that purported no MSG product is small enough that maybe they could claim that there is no MSG, the same way on a package of cookies they can claim no trans fats because each serving has less than half a gram of trans fat. It could be that type of a loophole. But anything that you see that says no MSG, I would still question it. And look at the ingredient label. Look for flavorings, natural flavorings, textured protein, vegetable gum seasonings, flavorings of chicken. Not chicken. Flavorings of chicken, flavorings of beef or pork, smoke flavorings. Barley malt. That's a big one. Barley malt is even in cereal, cold cereal, as you know. Malt extract, malt flavoring. Whey protein. Be careful. Some sources of whey protein, I would imagine the cheaper sources, not in a good quality whey protein shake, but maybe some whey protein in some, you know, in some protein bars or something that might be questionable. Whey protein isolate, soy protein isolate or concentrate. soy sauce or extract. Soy sauce or extract is a definite possible source of MSG. Let me go back to symptoms for a minute. I told you about the neuromuscular symptoms of arthritis, fibromyalgia, back pain. There's jaw stiffness, muscle aches, tendonitis. Neurological disorders, ALS, that's Lou Gehrig's disease. Alzheimer's disease, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, partial paralysis. Very, very interesting. So MSG has been noted to cause these in a large part of the population. Some psychological symptoms. Are you ready? ADD, attention deficit disorder. Hyperactivity. MSG can cause anxiety, can cause behavioral disorders, especially in children and in teens. Other psychological symptoms of MSG, confusion, depression, insomnia. Hey, I didn't know about this one, mitral valve prolapse syndrome. If you have mitral valve prolapse, like I do, MSG may exacerbate your symptoms if you're symptomatic. What other psychological symptoms? Mood swings, paranoia, panic attacks, rage reactions. Definite sources of MSG are hydrolyzed protein. Hydrolyzed protein is in a lot of things. I've seen that in a can of tuna. I've seen it in vegetarian and vegan products, especially vegetarian burgers. Other definite sources of MSG. Sodium caseinate or calcium caseinate. Autolyzed yeast or yeast extract. And also gelatin. So you want to beware of MSG. Christina, thank you for your question. You want to become an ingredient sleuth. And when, you know, your best bet, if you're looking for an organic chicken stock or beef stock, any kind of soup stock, forget about looking for it, you know, at your grocery store shelves. I have not found one yet that doesn't contain some ingredient that's questionable and that may be related to MSG. Make your own. It's very easy to make your own stock. That leftover roast chicken you had at Sunday dinner, throw it into a pot with water enough to cover it. Throw in there an onion, some carrot, some celery, some salt and pepper. And before you even put the salt and pepper in, don't do that until later. Simmer this for at least an hour. I simmer it for 2 hours. The longer you simmer it, the more flavorful your soup stock, your soup broth will become. Make a big vat of the stuff. Throw in any other bones, your leftover lamb bones. You know, the pot roast bones that you have, anything like that. Throw it all in there because the carcass, the bones, making bone broth and simmering it for hours and hours, you get a beautiful, flavorful stock. And then you could flavor it towards the end, your salt and pepper, herbs and spices, and enjoy it. You strain all this. And then, you know, if you're making a nice big pot of this stuff, you can even portion it out and freeze it. Put some into even ice cube trays. That's a wonderful idea. And then you could just pop some out of your ice cube trays, your stock cubes, and put them in when you're cooking your vegetables or your rice or making additional soup to add some more flavor. Okay. On to the next thing. There has been a sixth taste that's been discovered. This is very interesting. On worldhealth.net, scientists are looking at a sixth sense humans have based on their love for foods rich in carbohydrates. This new taste sense could lead to the discovery of a new flavor, which could easily be added to the growing list of already acquired taste. You know that the taste buds we have, they include salty, sweet, bitter, sour, and umami foods. The umami foods are what the MSG hits. That meaty, smoky, salty-ish flavor, the smoky, meaty flavors, those deep flavors. It could also explain why people cannot get enough starchy foods. Now, this discovery could account for why people prefer complex carbs. Sugar tastes fantastic in the short term, but when humans are asked to choose between chocolate and bread, they would choose a small portion of the chocolate and then larger amounts of the bread. Very, very interesting. So this study began with 22 subjects who were asked to consume a variety of different solutions made from different types of carbohydrates. And during this test, the subjects were asked to put a value on each of the solutions that they tasted. They described the taste as starchy. Asian subjects described the taste as rice-like, while Caucasian subjects described the taste as pasta or bread-like. And including to scientists, the taste of the solutions is really nothing short of eating flour. At least, that's how it pretty much tastes. Now, it's widely accepted that humans can taste mono and disaccharides, sugars, simple sugars as sweet substances, but they cannot taste longer chain oligo or polysaccharides. Okay, and then from an evolutionary standpoint, the ability to taste starch would be highly adapted given their nutritional value. So afterwards, these test subjects were introduced to a special compound that specifically blocked the taste receptors found on their tongues. They were also given another compound that blocked the enzymes that are used to dissolve long-reacting carbohydrates. This step of the study was critical, and this is why. Because up to this point, the general belief was that people couldn't taste carbohydrates. This was based on the idea that carbs break down rapidly and only the sweet-tasting residue is left behind. As science would have us believe, it is only the sweet-tasting molecules we are actually tasting. The subjects continued to be able to taste and to describe the starchy taste after blockers were administered. Now, this is interesting because I don't know about you, but when I eat bread, I don't taste something sweet as I'm masticating in my mouth, chewing and masticating and digesting, the first part of digestion happening in the mouth. When all that bread is breaking down while I'm chewing, I'm not eventually getting a sweet taste, so that couldn't be it, right? So, despite the previous theory that humans cannot taste carbs, the truth became quite evident. Every culture has their main source of complex carbohydrates. The idea that no one can taste what they are eating does not make much sense, say the researchers. These latest results can also explain why humans have a long history of eating starchy foods such as bread and rice. These two starchy foods have been part of human culture for centuries. With one solid hypothesis to hold on to, the research team is hoping to identify the exact receptors associated with picking up the sixth sense that are on the tongue. And additionally, starch is not the only new taste scientists are looking into. In 2015, scientists found that fat might have a taste all its own as well. Singularly, fat is a dull-tasting flavor. However, it enhances other flavors in a manner similar to bitterness. Boy, wouldn't you love to be a taste tester to see how all this works? And yet another team of researchers is looking into the possibility that tastes such as blood, amino acids, and calcium could be separate tastes as well. So, whether these new tastes make it to the official taste list is unclear at this point in time. Nevertheless, one fact is clear, according to WorldHealth.net. Humans are not in tune with their own mouths and senses when it comes to taste. Hopefully one day soon, this will all change and there will be a clearer understanding of this basic daily function. Fascinating stuff, our taste buds. So it's not just a matter of that bread breaking down and it tasting sweet. If it is, that's certainly coming under the radar of what we're actually tasting, isn't it? And there are many ways of craving sugar. Some people simply crave sugar, which is the cake, the cookie, the sugar in the coffee or the tea. And other people crave starch. I would be put into that category because if you put in front of me the most delicious chocolate cake or cookie in the world and a baguette, I am all over the baguette. I could care less about that chocolate cake, but this is simply a different way of craving sugar, but it does not mean the taste for sugar. There is then indeed the taste for starch, starchy carbohydrates. So it could be that the craving for starch could be its own mechanism and not just a craving for sugar or associated with the craving of sugar. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. Thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.